Hey guys, welcome back to the Sunday Afternoon Podcast. I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Joanna.
And we have a really fun episode today. We're going to be talking about the myth of the one. As you can see from the title, we're going to be talking about, is there one person for each person as far as relationships go?
Yeah.
And just our expectations in dating and what it looks like to search for that person. But we're going to get into that. But as you guys know, we have a new segment called Love and Let Go. So let's jump right in.
Okay.
You want to start?
Sure. this week I am loving, this is gonna make me sound super holy, so get ready. I'm loving reading about David. I've been going through 1 Samuel and just reading about the life of David and finding a lot of like connection points to my life, and it's been really cool. Obviously it's a story that I've heard before, but I think just seeing David as like a worshiper has been new for me. Obviously I know he wrote most of the Psalms, but at the same time, you know, I think when I think David, I think King David, and forget that he started out as David the boy playing the lyre in King Saul's court. So as a worship leader, it's just been cool to see like how David responds to certain things that happen in his life through worship.
Yeah, that's funny because my love for this week is also scripture related, so I was like, ah! I'm also holy.
We're so holy.
Yeah, my, do I go now or how's it go again?
No, I think I say both of mine.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was like, why are you skipping
so
me?
So excited.
So this week is my letting go is kind of gonna be a little deja vu to our first episode, but I'm letting go of cheese again, because I did not learn my lesson the first time, apparently. And this last time that I had cheese, I broke out into hives. And it was just really kind of scary and itchy. So I was like, okay, I guess this is really, really it. And I have to stop eating cheese. The end.
So sad.
Super sad, because it was on a taco. And I don't ever want to, like, taint tacos. I feel bad after eating a taco.
Thank God for vegan cheese.
Seriously.
Awesome. So what I'm loving this week, like I said, is scripture related. I've been loving the book of Joshua. I've been reading Joshua now for about a week and a half. And honestly, it's been blowing my mind. Just seeing how the Lord calls people out. He called Joshua out and he equipped him and he led him. And just seeing all the victories that Joshua had because of the Lord's guidance. It's just been really cool to see, and it's inspiring me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay for Bible application.
Yay! And then what I'm letting go this week is wanting to be friends with everyone.
Amen to that.
And mainly, I was going to say it's mainly at work, but it's also at church. We had not a lot of new people start at my job in the past month, like maybe like 20 people at least, and I get to do like a training with them, so I spend some time with them throughout the day, and they're all just nice people. Mm-hmm. I want to hang out with them and like go out and, you know, talk and chit chat, but I literally don't have time,
right?
And it's just so frustrating because I just want to chit chat. And same with church, like I just want to know everyone and like hear everyone's story, but it's not possible. It's literally not possible. So
yeah,
I need to let that go and not feel guilty about not talking to a new person at work after like the first week.
Yeah,
so
yeah. That could be a whole other podcast episode, like how to be social and personable but not like overextend yourself.
Yeah,
because I think we both struggle with that.
Yeah,
and it's not that we don't love people.
Yeah,
I think actually that's the problem.
Yeah.
But just realistically, you can't have like, what kind of relationship can you have with everyone,
right? And that's the frustrating part, because it's like I think about myself, I think I've shared this before on the podcast, I want to say, but I think about myself and the stories in my life, mm-hmm. what God has done in my life for the past 29 years, and what he's brought me through, and just where I've lived, just even small things like my life, mm-hmm. like purposes. And I think there's a whole other person who has the same thing about them. It's just like, you have stories as well. Like,
right.
Let's all share our stories.
Right, right.
It's just, you can't, so.
Yeah.
Gotta let it go. So, yeah.
We're not letting our friends go.
Yeah. Just letting go.
It's like,
letting go, wanting to be friends with all people.
Yeah.
But let's get into the episode. Like we said, we're talking about the myth of the one. So we want to first just preface the episode with, the same way we did episode one. By no means are we experts.
Right.
We're not, you know, here to teach or instruct necessarily. Mm-hmm. In some things, yes. Like when it comes to scripture, absolutely. But we're not here to instruct and teach. This is simply to start conversation.
Mm-hmm.
These are our thoughts. And these are things that we have pulled from scripture as well, though, that we feel are true.
Right.
So just want to preface with that first.
Right.
So let's dive right in. Let's just talk about why we want to talk about this.
Well, I think for Christian, in Christian culture especially, like, this idea of, well, maybe not even specifically Christian culture, but just this idea of soulmate and mm-hmm. the one and having, like, a perfect person for you mm-hmm. Is something that has intentionally or not been, I think, ingrained in us.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I guess as I get older, I'm reevaluating, like, what that means and what that looks like.
Yeah.
I think my teenage self would have considered the one to be someone who checked off every, like, box on some list that I had, where most of the things probably weren't, like, God-honoring or important.
Right.
But now, like, how does, like, God's sovereignty play into our search, essentially, I think, is how I'm approaching that question. Like, is the one a real thing for God, or is it just something that we've kind of twisted or completely made up?
Yeah, and actually, when you said that, it made me actually even rethink what I was even thinking. So now this is going to be a fun episode. But yeah, I feel like that was my idea of the one, was that the one is the one... The one is the one who checks all the boxes, mm-hmm. like, who meets all of my standards, or make my criteria. And I feel like, as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that that's just not gonna be possible. Like, one right. person can't check all my boxes,
mm-hmm.
because that would be a perfect person, and the Lord hasn't made a perfect person.
Right, except for us. I'm just kidding.
I was like, what? Yeah, so that's what I feel like I thought the one was. And I don't know, I always hear people say, like, oh, you know, this person is my soulmate and they complete me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in that. Like, I don't...
Right.
Like, I don't believe you should feel like any one person completes you. I think you can say they compliment you well, right. but as far as, like, oh, this is my other half, I disagree with that kind of stuff, but I'm seeing now that I feel like the one who the Lord has for me is going to be just that. I don't know how to put mm-hmm. it, but it's going to be the one who God chooses right. for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be imperfect, and it's going to be amazing.
Right.
Should this ever happen.
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't feel like I've been walking around life incomplete.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would negate our need for the Lord.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So. And I really don't believe this idea of the one is something that we see in the Bible. I think it's more so something that we see in romantic comedies, which is interesting because the way that we see it, I just realized this today, mm-hmm. this idea doesn't necessarily line up with how we think of it. You know, we're like, we're searching for somebody who's our perfect soulmate and who's mm-hmm. our match. And it, like,
presents this idea that I'm not going to have any problems once I meet this person. Because, yeah. you know, they're going to be the perfect person for me. But then we look at movies and I'm thinking about, like, I don't know why I'm thinking about this movie, but 27 Dresses. The two main characters meet each other and they, like, hate each other. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of unhealthy interactions later, they realize that they love each other. And it's like, is that what we're looking for? Because I don't necessarily agree with that either.
I think the real question that we have when we think about the one is, like, how do we go about finding somebody to marry? Mm-hmm. Like, is it a mystical, magical thing where it's love at first sight and now you complete my soul? Or is there, like, a process? Or, you know, should we have a list? And I think that's where it gets confusing for a lot of people. And we move away from seeking the Lord and we kind of formulate ideas based off of what we have seen growing up or seen in Disney movies or read in 17 magazine. Like, check the take this quiz to find out if your crush likes you, you know. It's like maybe not the best guide. So I think what we wanted to talk about or start talking about in this episode is, how does God fit into our pursuit?
Yeah, I agree, because I think when you are looking for, quote unquote, the one, there's all this pressure to find this particular person. Mm-hmm. And you have this idea of what he's going to look like, what he's going to be wearing, and the job he has. And then when that person who you meet doesn't line up with what you had in your mind, you feel like, okay, this person isn't it. Let me not even give him or her, if you're God listening to this, let me not even give her the time of day. Mm-hmm. When in actuality, I feel like the Lord works so ironically.
Right.
And I feel like the person he has for you is probably something you, is probably someone who you least expect. Is someone who you least expect. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when we are, like, actually looking for, or like we are actively looking for, you know, to be in relationship with the opposite sex, I think we really have to be sensitive. Because I'm even thinking about, like, dating apps. Mm-hmm. Like, you look on dating apps and they're so tricky because you're literally judging people based off how they look and a few questions they answer. It's very risky.
Right.
But at the same time, the Lord can work through that. I'm not dogging dating apps at all.
Right.
But you look at someone on there and you think, okay, this person is only 5'7". The guy who's right. the one for me, he's definitely going to be 6'2". So obviously, he's not the one.
Right.
Like, eggs out of this picture. But the Lord, I don't know, the Lord can do a good thing through anyone for you, if that makes sense. Like, he can bring someone to you who you didn't even think you would meet.
Yeah. And let's talk about attraction, if we can. Because I think that is such a, it's such a tricky thing, because the Lord, like, made us with eyes.
Right.
So, there's that. And, like, he made us with certain likes and dislikes.
Yeah. And he gave us features. Yeah. He didn't make us just, like, faceless. Yeah, just a picture of a faceless person.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right. So, all of these things were good. He created us with desires, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So our bodies work the way that they do for a reason.
Right.
So it's obviously an important part of looking for that person, but at the same time, speaking of David and reading in 1 Samuel, like, the Bible says a few times that's not what ultimately matters the most to God. Like,
yeah.
The man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So
right.
when we're seeking that person that the Lord has set aside for us, rather than calling them the one, how important is attraction?
Yeah, that's so hard. Because it's true, like, you have eyes and you want to be with someone who you find physically attractive. And I obviously haven't been married,
right?
So I can't speak from experience. So I can't say, like, oh, attraction is so important in marriage. I can't say that. But I feel like it's a part of it. It's a part of, I feel like it's a part of, because that's what separates a friendship in a marriage relationship.
I think it's one of the things.
One of the things, like, intimacy as well, like, how close you are with them, and you being physically attracted to them.
Right.
Right?
Right. I do believe attraction can grow, though.
Right.
And that's the other thing, because, like, okay, well, how do you approach
a relationship with someone that you're not attracted to. So let's say you meet a guy, and you've said, this has happened to you. You meet a guy, and you start talking to him, and you really like them, but you weren't necessarily initially attracted to them.
Right.
Could that grow? And I believe, yes. But at what point should you pursue a dating relationship?
Yeah. I'll speak to my experience. Because when I met this person, I wasn't attracted to them at all. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even on my mind. Right. Like, it was literally just a friendship.
Right.
And then at some point, it wasn't even like this guy's cute. Right. It was just like I really like this person's character. Right. I like that we have things in common.
Right.
So it wasn't like now I really want to start dating him. It was kind of just like almost like a natural flow into like, maybe we should date or something.
Right.
So, and that's the hard thing though, because I feel like if you enter into a dating relationship with someone who you don't find attractive, that could be challenging, because then it does get tricky of like, well, do you just keep dating into, what if the attraction never grows and it's like, very awkward. Right. How do you end that?
Right. It's like, I actually was never attracted to you.
Yeah.
What?
Excuse me?
Right.
So, it's hard. It's hard.
It's hard, but I think, I feel like because we have this, I don't know. Okay. Hold on. What am I trying to say? There's so many, like, weird things in Christian culture when it comes to dating. And one, I think there's just an overemphasized focus on getting married, and we don't necessarily value singleness as we should as a Christian culture. So there's that, and so because of that, I think a lot of times guys and girls might be pushed or influenced to settle, for lack of a better word, because it's like, this person is nice. And it's like, okay, they're nice and they love Jesus, but does that mean I need to be with them?
Yeah.
We don't have to be married, you know? So it's not like I need to find somebody at all costs, and so I should give everyone a chance. Like, if you're not... I don't know, that's so hard. If you're not attracted to someone, yes, that can grow. But you shouldn't pursue a dating relationship before you're attracted to that person. Mm-hmm. Like, let it grow a different way. How? I'm not 100% sure. I don't have answers. But I feel like you said, it could get tricky and messy because you have a desire to be married and you're like, oh, well, I should like this person. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, you don't, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah. It is hard. Yeah. It is hard. And I had this conversation recently with somebody just about the idea of attraction and, you know, because... I guess for me, the thing is, I don't want to seem like I'm shallow and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to talk to this person because I don't even, you know, like them.
I don't like how they look.
Yeah. And the reason why I think it gets a little bit tricky is because since dating apps are so common now, that's the first thing you're judging.
Right.
Are their looks versus if you were meeting in person, that pressure isn't there because you guys are. You're not entering into meeting each other maybe we should date.
Right.
On a dating app, you are,
though.
That's
the whole reason why you're there.
Right. It's the whole reason why I'm here on this dating app. So, I feel like in person, if you meet someone and you're not attracted to them, it doesn't even matter because you're not even thinking about it. But on the dating app, it's like, oh, I'm not going to pursue this any further.
Right.
So, it gets hard.
That's true. It's two different, like, approaches. Because on the other hand, if somebody came into our church or whatever and started hanging out with the group, and maybe they didn't catch your eye at first and you weren't attracted to them, but at some point, you know, that changes and you realize that you like that person. That's different. Then you can look back and say, oh, attraction didn't really matter.
Yeah.
But like you said, just first on a dating app, you're like, you need to make a decision.
Yeah, it's hard. I feel like it's hard to land on that because... Now I'm looking at those two different situations.
Yeah. How are they different? But they're very different.
Yeah. Because you don't want to lead with attraction, but at the same time, if it's on a dating app, I don't know. I'll land on I don't know.
Yeah. That's a hard one.
Yeah. It's challenging.
Yeah. If you guys have any advice or answers or, I don't know.
Like, thoughts. Like, what do you think? Like, do you lead with attraction?
Right. But attraction is not like we said, it's not unbiblical. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not something that the Lord didn't create us with for a reason. I think about Isaac and Rebecca. Well, first of all, Isaac wasn't even there when they picked his wife. So, mm-hmm. he didn't know what she looked like. Mm-hmm. But the Abraham's servant. Yeah, Abraham's servant is the one who went to, yeah, duh. Okay, Abraham's servant describes her as beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so that's in there. So, it's not like there that God is, I guess, what the point I want to make on this section is that we don't have to be married. Mm-hmm. So, we shouldn't. You definitely shouldn't force it. Yeah. If you're not feeling it. Like, there's no mandate that says every Christian woman needs to be married by mm-hmm. a certain time. And I think when we try to force something like that with that idea that I need to get married to somebody, mm-hmm. that you put undue, unnecessary pressure on the dating situation by not really being interested and then leading somebody on feeling like you should be able to make it work because they're also a believer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
And I think even just to add to that, like, I guess the big thing would just be to pray.
Yeah.
Like, if you're really feeling unclear or uncertain, just pray. And I think when you're walking sensitive to the Spirit, you're going to be able to determine these things. Like, oh, I shouldn't even talk to this guy. Or let me get to know this guy, even though the attraction isn't there. Or he doesn't check all my boxes.
Right.
If you're walking sensitive, you'll know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And God really cares about who we marry. I don't personally believe, and this is where we get into, is the one a thing or not? Because mm-hmm. I don't personally believe that we are supposed to just go out and just pick another Christian and you should be able to make it work because you're mm-hmm. both believers. I don't know.
Like, bring on the debate.
I don't think it's that simple. Yeah, you know, I really don't. Because I see the importance that God puts on the marriage relationship.
Yeah, I agree.
Like I said, not that there's a mystical, magical one, but at the same time, I can't be like, oh, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, so we should be able to make this work.
Right.
But we don't have to. We don't have to, and I see Isaac and Rebecca's story, and I see how his servant, like, prayed very specifically. Mm-hmm. It's like, bring me the woman that he's supposed to marry and let her say this. And then she came and said that very same thing. It's like, the Lord is intentional.
Yeah.
Like, whole nations are brought about through marriage relationships. And his will is carried out through the marriage relationships. I think, I don't know, man. I don't think it's that simple.
Yeah. I feel like that's hard. Okay. I feel like, no, I don't believe you have to make everything work with every single Christian guy or girl you meet.
Or that because, you could.
Oh, yeah. That you could make it work out. Because, again, the Lord is intentional, like you said. I even think about, like, I'm trying to apply it to, another situation outside of relationships. Like, thinking about, say you're switching careers. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, I need a place of employment. Let's say, okay, I really want to work at Popeyes. I don't know. That was my first job. So let's just take it back. I really want to work at Popeyes, but God is telling me to work at Burger King. Mm-hmm. But both companies are good.
Yeah.
Both serve. I was going to say both serve good food. I'm not really a fan of Burger King. But for the sake of the example, both serve good food. So why can't I work at Popeyes?
Right.
Because God doesn't want you to work there. He wants you to work at Burger King. Nothing wrong with Popeyes. It's just not for you.
Right.
So I feel like, and I still go back and forth because I'm not sure, but I feel like in agreeing with what you're saying, that you don't have to, or you shouldn't just make things right with a person because
mm-hmm.
you could.
Right.
Because you're Christian. It's like, well, what does the Lord say about it?
Right.
You know?
And he has a lot more foresight than we do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is going to sound like pessimistic, but if I'm with that example, like, mm-hmm. it's like, I want to work, where did you want to work? At Popeyes? I'll work at Popeyes. The Lord's telling me to work at Burger King. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but like you said, but both are fine. I should be able to do a good job at both, but the mm-hmm. Lord knows that Popeyes is about to close.
Yeah.
You don't, you know? So if you feel the Lord telling you, don't go this way.
Yeah.
There's a reason, even though on the outside and from what you can see, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Or there shouldn't be anything wrong.
And I think that's why it's so important, like I said before, to be walking sensitive. Because if you were to just look at the two establishments, like, oh, mm-hmm. Popeyes is good, Burger King is good, yeah, I'll just pick one. Right. But if you're following the Lord and the Lord says do this, then you should jump and do that versus, right. oh, they both look fine. Then you end up
right.
working at Popeyes for a week and it shuts down.
Right, right. And then for this example, like I said, hopefully this doesn't sound like super pessimistic, but what if, you know, you have two Christian guys in mm-hmm. front of you? I don't know, this isn't The Bachelorette. I feel like this would never happen. But for argument's sake, let's just say you have two perfectly good Christian guys standing in front of you. And you feel like if you go with, oh, I should be able to make it work with both. If, mm-hmm. if you're not, like, prayerful, seeking wise counsel, you can't just point and click. Because what if, I was going to say homeboy, but people don't say that.
I was going to say homeboy, too.
I'm like, does anyone say this anymore? Bachelor number one. What if he walks away from the faith mm-hmm. 3 years down the road, mm-hmm. you know, and you didn't see it coming, but mm-hmm. the Lord saw it coming. It's like, yeah. listen, that's going to be hard and you're going to be in a marriage relationship with him. So you're going to have to make it work at that point.
Yeah.
So to avoid that, yeah. go with number two, you know?
Yeah.
Like just, he sees obviously a lot more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it look like to walk sensitive in that area? Cause I don't want, it's, I feel like it's a hard concept to explain, but maybe it's not. I don't want to give people like just theoretical. We'll just walk sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What mm-hmm. if I don't know how to do that?
Yeah.
What would you say?
I would tell them it's about prayer.
Yeah.
It sounds simple, but I mean, honestly, I think it's about prayer and also being in community and also having someone like an older person ahead of you in life.
Yeah.
I feel like those three things are, is what can help you walk sensitive. Because say you are trying to figure out if you are supposed to date this person,
mm-hmm.
if you have someone who's older and who's ahead of you, they can say, when I was your age, you know, I knew a guy who was just like that, and mm-hmm. you know, or they just have foresight. So I don't know, I feel like all those three things can help you walk sensitive.
Yeah, but you have to listen. Mm-hmm. I think about Ruth and Naomi, or like Isaac and Abraham. Like
mm-hmm.
Abraham trusted his father mm-hmm. to pick a wife for him. Actually, he really trusted his father's servant to trust God to pick a wife for him.
Yeah.
If we think about it, he wasn't, you know, and obviously times were different then, and but at the same time, like, just family was a different concept then. Mm-hmm. And Ruth was hanging on to Naomi's every instruction when it came to like how to position herself really to be noticed by Boaz. I don't think she pursued Boaz, but and she didn't question it, you know. Obviously different context, their livelihood kind of depended on her getting married, so right. that was different, but but I think the principle is the same, like the yeah. Lord gives us people in our lives prayerfully. I mean, listen, you can listen to our last season about discipleship. I think it's episode 6.
I don't know.
But the Lord sets that structure up of, you know, being discipled for a reason.
Yeah.
And if you have somebody speaking into your life, believe that the Lord is speaking to you through them.
Yeah, I agree with that. And actually, there are a lot more things that we want to share.
Yeah.
And we are going to actually make this into two parts.
Yeah. Realizing this is a lot.
Yeah, this is a lot. There's a lot to unpack, and we don't want to just kind of condense everything. So yeah. we are going to have a part two to this conversation. But we hope you guys learned from this yeah. so far, or took something away at least, or use it to start a conversation with, you know, your friends or family, whatever the case may be. So yeah, as always, follow us on Instagram at the Sunny Afternoon Podcast.
At Sunny Afternoon Podcast.
One day we're going to get that right. You can find us on Facebook. You just search the Sunday Afternoon Podcast. All of our links will be in the show notes for our social media.
Yeah.
But as always, thank you for listening, and we will see you next Sunday.
Bye.
Bye, guys.